Father, I thank you for the opportunity to be back in your house. I thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ that covers a multitude of sins. I thank you for your word, Lord. It is quick. It is powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. God, I thank you that your spirit of truth is alive and well on this earth. I thank you for conviction. I thank you for grace. I thank you for strength. And I thank you above all that there is power in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Do me a favor. I don't do a lot of stuff. I don't know how to put it, stuff. I like what Pastor Chuck said. For $79.95, you can get an autographed picture of Jesus or something like that. That was my interpretation of it. I thought it was me that he said 70 or something like that. But anyway, autographed, all right, yeah. I like that. That's pretty good. Will you say something with me? Just let me say it once and then you can repeat it after me. If you're not going to do it, it looks like I'm going to have to do it. Say it. If you're not going to do it, it looks like I'm going to have to do it. Title of my message. If you're not going to do it, yep, I like her. She just looked at me and went, it looks like I'm going to have to do it. Under that little hat, she just smiled and said, well, I reckon I'll do it. 1 Samuel chapter 17, starting at the 42nd verse, familiar story about a punk runt kid. You heard me. A punk runt kid. At least that's the way this guy looks at him. He disdains him. Looks down on him. Thinks he's a nothing. And he has had a divine encounter with God. We're going to sort of pick up where we left off last night. If you don't ever know who you are and you don't know what God's called you to do. Look, when I say called, people run around and say, I'm called to preach, I'm called to preach. You know what I'm called to do? I'm called to share the story. That's what I'm really called to do, is share the story. And the most influence that I've ever had is sharing the story of my life, of how Jesus has worked in me personally, one-on-one. That's real preaching. That's real. That's when you get with the biker and he's cussing, you know. He goes, what do you do for a living, dude? What? This happened to me, really. I went, you'll never guess. He said, you're not a narc, are you? I went, no. He said, you're not DEA, are you? I went, no. What do you do for a living? And he said, never blank mind. Yeah, don't get offended that he cussed. That don't bother me. I sort of like it. The more they cuss, that means the greater the fruit. I just messed you up there, didn't I? I'm sorry that your little virgin Christian ears bleed every time that you hear a curse word. Because you cannot minister to people unless you get by their cussing. Oh, bless your heart. I done hurt feelings already. I should stick with my stuff. But anyway, I'm already here, so might as well get in the mud. So I looked at him and said, I'm a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he looked at me and said, no S. And then he puts his hand over his mouth and says, oops, preach, didn't mean to cuss. And I was able to preach for 60 seconds. I told him, I said, do you understand that that didn't bother me, that God hears you 365, 24/7? And he stops, and all of a sudden, he drops his bad, ugly, you know, biker persona and goes, you know, I've never thought about God hearing me and what I say. He said, I reckon I really ought to take that to heart, shouldn't I? I said, yeah, dude, you ought to. God's good. God's good to us. He puts things in your life for you to handle. There are things that I've handled over the last years that if you'd told me 20 years ago I would have handled, I would have wigged out on you. I would have spazzed out, you know, had a fit, told you I've never done that. But sometimes God puts things in your life that other Christians are unwilling to handle. They can't get past what they've been taught and not what they know in their heart. Can I follow God? May I please, before I read this? Just give me a few seconds. I'm sitting in Florida. I like scuba diving. I'm with two other preachers. I look at it this way. If they're not going to do it, I might as well do it. So I look at life. If you're not going to try to reach them, I'm going to try to reach them. Because God put it in my life or in front of me to handle. Guy walks by. I like the smell of cigars. I'm unsanctified. Love the smell of them. Since I was 7 years old, I begged my daddy when I was seven to buy me a cigar down in St. Augustine, Florida. A little Cuban man rolling them. I love the smell of them. The guy walks by. He's got a cigar and a beer in his hand. I ask him a question. I ask him what kind of cigar. He sits down at my table, uninvited. He is cussing like Popeye's sailor, parrot, the sailor, and everything. I will be kind. He's telling me what he's wanting to do to women, and we'll leave it at that. How's that? The biggest thing that he says repetitiously, now please don't, because if you do, I will embarrass you and not mean to embarrass you, okay? So I'm going to warn you. The biggest word that he said was GD over and over. And God spoke to me. See, I said that real quick so you wouldn't go, huh, and I would embarrass you. God spoke to me and said, if you can get past your religion, I will use you this day to help him. He said he's cussing me, not you, and I've not killed him yet. If he was cussing you like he's cussing me, you would want to punch him, wouldn't you? I was going, So we sat there, we talk. My two preacher buddies come back. Sat down with us. They'd been getting their food. I'd already got mine. One of them starts going, oh. Every time he would say something, he'd go, oh. You got to know these guys. We were drug addicts together, so to speak, and everything. And they're going, like they've never cussed before in their life, or they've never said what this guy's saying. And one of them's going, oh. And then the other one, the little bitty guy, he goes, I plead the blood of Jesus over you, you devil. And God was so good that this guy didn't even hear him. So he got upset that this guy wouldn't shut up. So he goes over and watches the girls in the bikini contest. So we're sitting there. And I find the man's name. I'll hurry up. I know you want me to read that. His name was Ed. And we were talking. And I said, Ed, what do you do for a living? And he points to a $2.5 million boat tied up to the dock. And he said, I'm from Kentucky. And I buy racehorses. And my buddy's on there. And I'll leave all the rest of that story alone, what his buddy was on the boat doing. And he said, what do you do for a living? And God said, now. I said, I'm a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I lie you not. He takes the beer off the table, sets it between his legs. I lie you not. Drops the cigar down beside him, and he cold stares me for a few seconds like, This is the next thing that comes out of his mouth. Why have you sat here and let me talk like this? My response to him was, Ed, you've not said nothing I've not said, because I was that vile. You've not done nothing I haven't done, because I was that vile. You're not acting in any way that I've not acted. The only difference between me and you, Ed, is that the blood of Jesus Christ has washed me and cleansed me. The next thing that comes out of his mouth is this. Do you know what a prayer warrior is? I said, well, sure I do. He said, my mom's a prayer warrior, but I'm an atheist. I said, no, you're not. And we started bantering. Give me a second. We started bantering like little children. Yes, no, yes, no. And finally he got disgusted with me and said, prove to me I'm not an atheist. I said, okay, been waiting on you to hush so I could tell you. I said, if you were an atheist, you would have said your mother was one of those religious fanatics who felt like she needed to scream and cry out to some unknown God that was a million miles away, and she was just sort of crazy. But you said your mother was a prayer warrior. And atheists don't believe in prayer warriors. And he went, you got me. I said, Ed, I'm going to pray for you. I said, God's ordained me in your life to stand in front of you today to do something. I said, your mama, the prayer warrior, has prayed me in your path. By the way, Ed, did I invite you to sit down with me? He went, no. By the way, he was drunk as a skunk. Now, I've never seen a skunk drunk, but that's just how I put it. He was drunk. By now, he is sober. He said, no, sir, you didn't ask me to sit down. I said, so today's the divine appointment. I said, here's what God's going to do. He's going to save you. It may not be right this second, but he's going to save you. He said, how do you know that? I said, your prayer warrior mother is praying. And I said, before I leave, I'm going to pray with you. So give me a hand. I'm going to show you what I did to Ed. I did this. We didn't get religious. We didn't get crazy. I just looked at him like this. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for letting me meet Ed. I believe I'm going to see him in heaven. Thank you for his prayer warrior mother and you putting me in his life. God, I just give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. And we let go of hands, and Ed went like this. He said, do you have a card? May I finish? I'm leaving the room. I've got one ratty, nasty card with me. I'm walking out the door and the Spirit of God says, go get your card. And I hand him this card. And he said, you'll probably never hear from me again. I said, no, I'll see you in heaven. He said, you're that sure, aren't you? I said, today, God put me in your life. Nobody else wanted to do it. So God said, would you like to make a mess of this? And I went, yes, sir. Now, we're going to read scripture text. When I got through, my preacher buddy that stayed with me asked me a question. How did you do that? I looked at him and I said, Dale, do you not remember where you and I came from? Are you so removed from the person you used to be that you cannot reach the person you used to be? Have you gotten so religious, so righteous, that you no longer count on God? Have you got so offended by the world that you can't reach the world? The very people that we're to illuminate. Let me read starting verse 42. And when the Philistine looked about and he saw David, he disdained him. In other words, he looked down on him, thought he was a piece of junk. But he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. In other words, he would have made the front of GQ magazine. And the Philistine said unto him, am I a dog that you come to me with a sword? Or excuse me, you come to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And when the Philistine said to David, come now to me, and I will give your flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David, you need to get that. You need to get that. If you're not going to do it, who's going to do it? Hold on, let me stop. If it's in your life, it's in your life for a purpose. Maybe you need to stop waiting on somebody else to roll into town or roll into your life to take authority over something in your life. Maybe it's time that you own up, step up, man up, put on your big boy panties or your Depends, whatever you got to do, and step into the arena. And then David said to the Philistine, I'm going to talk back to it. You come to me with a sword and a spear and a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. The word host there means army. The God of the armies of Israel who you have defiled. Listen to this. Confidence in God is miraculous. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. Say, what you doing? I just keep hearing the Spirit of the Lord tell me, hold your hand out and tell them, I put it in front of you. It's in your hand. It's in your power. It's within your grasp. It's within your reach. It's yours. Handle it. And I will smite you and take your head from you, and I will give your carcass this day. Ready? You remember that Goliath cursed David by his gods? David's about to feed him to his gods. And I will give your carcass this day to the host of the Philistines and to the fowls of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saves not with sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into my hand. Now, three times he has indicated that God has given you to me. Three times. Now, I need to say this. I don't want to preach this tonight. I really don't want to do this tonight. I sat over there and told God, I don't want to do this one tonight. Let me do something else. And this is what I heard, keep hearing him say. They've got to handle it. They've got to face it. They've got to stop running from it. They've got to stop cowering down to it. They've got to stop giving into it. So tonight, I reckon we've got to handle it. And it came to pass, verse 48, when the Philistine arose, he came near and drew near to meet David, that David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistines. I love that. In other words, he didn't step back and go, oh my God, you're big. He jumps up and runs toward him. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone, and he slung it, and he smote the Philistine in the forehead, that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Wherefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of his sheath and slew him and cut off his head. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines. Wow! What a story. I mean, Israel's battle's at a loss. They've been doing this for 40 days, by the way. For 40 days, Goliath has stepped out on the battlefield and challenged Israel to a confrontation. For 40 days, this 9.5 foot tall man. Recently in Cairo, Egypt, they dug up 2 skeletons of giants. It is amazing how big one of the heads is on the gentleman. It is that big. They are nearly 13 feet tall, both of them. Monstrous men. Laying side by side with ribs broke. Somebody killed them. I don't know who it was, but you did a good job to handle that problem. 9.5 feet tall, 190 pounds of metal on his chest as a coat. 23 pounds of head on a spear of metal. 20-something pounds each of legging metal. A shield that weighed over 30 pounds. When you total up all the armament and the weight that he had on his body, was somewhere in the proximity around 300 to 338 pounds worth of metal. Now, he wasn't a little boy. So every day for 40 days, he gets up and challenges the army of Israel by defying them. Now, he just did not challenge them. He mocked them. He not only mocked them, he mocked their God. He mocked Yahweh. He mocked Jehovah. He mocked Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Jireh, He mocked him every day for 40 days. And for 40 days, Israel let this go on. Something had gone wrong. Because Israel had met enemies like this time and time again. Israel had handled problems like this time and time again, but not this time. This time, they were letting something go on in their life that did not need to go on in their life. They had everything that they needed to handle the problem. But here's the problem. They were trusting in Saul, who's a head taller than everybody else. Pretty good scenario, right? You got this guy that's a head taller than everybody else until you get a guy that's five heads taller than everybody else. All of a sudden, your champion, Saul, doesn't look so big. When they go and tell Saul, hey Saul, this guy's 9.5 feet tall. Saul, I don't know what mode he went into. It undoubtedly was some kind of panic mode. Because for 40 days, he never steps up. He never mans up. He never does one thing. He doesn't make one challenge. He doesn't accept one challenge. For 40 days, he does nothing but sit in the foxholes of defeat or the sick bays of depression. That sounds pretty good. Sounds like a lot of people that I run into every now and then. They sit around in the foxholes of defeat. They're waiting on somebody to step up and handle their problem. They wind up in the sick bays of depression. Why haven't you been to church in a while? Well, I've been so down. I've been so depressed. I've been so, you know, I just don't feel like it's doing me any good. I mean, you know, how you doing? I figured I'd be mean, nice. You can pick. Here. You ask them where you been. I ain't coming back. That religion stuff ain't for me. Church just ain't for me. It just don't work. That ain't my thing. How you doing? Y'all don't know any people like that. I do. I pastor. a pastor, and so I meet people occasionally like that when I run into them at Walmart or uptown. I say, hey, how you doing? Where you been? Oh, I ain't coming back. No, church ain't for me. You know, I tried that prayer stuff, but it don't work. I tried this Jesus, but Jesus don't work. I go, what works? Well, you know, I find that drinking helps me, so I've gone back drinking. And I go, okay, yeah, that really helps, don't it? You beat your wife, you cuss everybody out, you get arrested. That really, yeah, you're a model citizen. That, you know, of course, I've been there. I've been that guy. So I'm not knocking him. You're looking at him. You're just looking. I've just been saved 36 years. But I'm that guy. So I understand that guy, but I don't understand the mindset of letting something go on day after day in your life when Israel had what they needed to handle it. You say, what did they have? They had the name of the Lord of hosts. They had the Ark of the Covenant. They had the relationship with God that they were supposed to have. They had everything that they possibly needed to have victory, but for 40 days, they don't have it. Now, can I stop here and ask you a question? Has any of this made any sense to anybody so far, or am I up here just running my mouth? You say, well, what message do you want me to get? How long have you been living with something in your life that don't need to be in your life, and you want somebody else to handle it? We go to the doctor, we want him to handle it. Give me another med. Another med don't always help. Huh? Hello? Another med don't always help. Another man don't always help. Another woman don't help. Another drink don't help. Another smoke don't help. Another this don't help. A new car don't help. A new home don't help. Those things don't help. What we do, we wind up running from the issue. We never step up and face it. You know, can I say this in love and speak this to you in truth at the same time? Do you understand why some people are miserable and call themselves Christians? It's because they've never really made that commitment to Christ. They've never really sold out to Christ. In other words, they've never... they never have drawn the line in the sand and stepped over it. Oh, hold on. You never let the enemy set the terms of the battle. The Bible, just in case you want to know what the Bible says, we, you and me, are the redeemed of the Lord. We, you and me, have the say-so. It don't have the say-so. That don't have the say-so. That don't have the say-so. They don't have the say-so. You and me have the say-so because we are the redeemed of the Lord. Well, the reason the circumstance is going to change is when David gets there, David decides to handle the issue. When David hears Goliath cursing his God and saying that his God was not God enough or good enough or great enough, it infuriated David to the point that he began to ask questions. One of the first people that he asked was one of his three brothers. And when he asked his three brother, one of his three brothers, Eli, grabbed him by the nape of the neck and began to accuse him. You know, his brother didn't want to handle the issue either. And David just wanted to know why this has been going on for 40 days. And instead of his brother answering him and telling him that we're all chickens and we're cowards and we're looking at the circumstance and saying that it's bigger than God. We can't handle this. It's bigger than God. Eliab begins to accuse David and tells David this. You only come here to see the battle. You just want to go back in town and tell everybody that we can't get the job done. Well, if he would have done that, he would have told the truth because they weren't getting the job done. But that wasn't the reason that David came to the battle. He came to the battle for a divine appointment. He didn't know it was a divine appointment. No more than that day I sat down at that table did I know that Ed would walk up. I was talking about scuba diving and the sharks we had seen. I was talking about how cool it was on the night dive the night before, how I went over a reef and this big 7-foot shark come out between Bobby and Dale. They were scared to death. I said, you should have been scared, Dale. You're the biggest. He was hungry. We were kidding and cutting up. I wasn't looking for Ed. But Ed was my giant that day. God put him in my life that day to bring him down. God put Goliath in front of David that day to bring him down. Now, I got to say something, and again, I want to speak to you in love. I'm not trying to be ugly, not trying to be mean, but I do want to get a point across. There are things in your life that God has let come into your life that He wants you to handle. He wants you to handle. And the only way you're going to handle it is by what Pastor Chuck sung, the last song. I looked over at Jesse and I said, well, I know I've got the right message. He began to sing, there is power in the name of Jesus. That we've been given a name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. So in us, in our prayer life, in our own mouth, we are condemned or we are justified. Do you know you condemn yourself sometimes? You don't need a devil to condemn you. You just say, well, I'm no good, I'm no nothing, you know, I can't ever, blah, blah, blah. You don't need a devil. You got you. You don't even need a wife. Just lay in bed by yourself and go, you know, I ought to die. I'll just kill myself. You know what I mean? Huh? Let's talk and be honest here for a second. Let's just be honest. Those were not the words that came out of David's mouth that evening. He didn't go, oh my God, oh Lord, I'm so sorry. You know, I wished I could have done better. You know, oh God, help me. I'm not ready for this, God. Oh, God, I should have fasted 40 days and 40 nights and I'd have been ready. No, you're ready for it because you've got power and authority in the name of Jesus. You know, the Bible sort of tells you and I to be instant in season and out of season. Some of us just don't want to handle our stuff. Some of us just don't want to talk to it. We'll let it talk to us. Bear with me again. I'm a pastor. I get this a lot. Well, I hear the devil just talk to me, Pastor. Well, the devil's... y'all two smiled. I really needed that right now. I've been looking for a smile, and y'all did it perfect and did good. I'll give you the $20 I promised you for doing that, okay? You know, I had people go, the devil told me. I said, what's God said? I ain't heard from God lately. I said, wait a minute, you're His child? You mean to tell me you can hear the devil and you can't hear God? Some ain't right here. Something's not right. If my son calls me right now, and I didn't have the ringtone I have on there for him, I could tell you the second that redneck son of mine, when he called, I'd go, hey, Beef, what's up? I wouldn't have to say, who is this? If my wife called me right now, I wouldn't have to go, who are you? My daughter, my daughter-in-law, my son-in-law. If my grandson called me right now, I would know who Miles and Maddox was. I wouldn't have to ask them, would you please identify yourself? I had not talked to Pastor Surface in what? How many years? It's been a long time. He calls the other day. I must have got another number or a new number or something because it didn't come up the old number. And it just said Colorado. So I hit it and he said, hello, brother. And I knew right then. I mean, I hadn't talked to him and only God knows when. I said, hey, Pastor Chuck, how you doing? He said, I'm doing good. How are you? My ready for this? My sheep know my name. That's what Jesus said. They're not even going to listen to the other guy. They don't want to hear what he's got to say. They sort of tell the other guy, shut up, heard what you said, this is what I'm going to tell you. God's going to deliver you into my hand. I'm going to handle it today, not tomorrow, not when... You know, if I could just get rid of this, I could... No, you handle it. You step up, you draw the line in the sand. I like what David did. I'm going to try to close here in a minute. I like what David did because he ran toward his problem. He ran toward not just Goliath. It said he ran toward the army. He had a bigger picture in mind. It was not just handle this guy. It was, God, I'll handle anything you set in front of me. You know, this is a little different than last night. It's real sort of quiet in here tonight. Last night, y'all were going, amen, come on, help me, thank you, Jesus. And tonight, you're looking at me like, who's this guy? I know I've got the right message. I know I've heard God. Look, we have issues in our life that some of us better handle. Because this is what I need to tell you. You've went to bed with it long enough and woke up with it long enough. You eat breakfast with it long enough. You've eat lunch with it long enough. You've eat supper with it long enough. And you've gone back to bed with it long enough. Quit going around singing your little happy song with it. Just me and my shadow. Quit dancing under that cloud of gloom that it's making. Turn around with the authority of Jesus' name and start exercising your faith in what God gave you to do. I cannot expect my wife or anybody else to pray me through. I can't expect anybody else to touch God for me. I can't expect anybody else to hear God for me. I don't count on a spiritual mama. I don't count on a spiritual daddy. I've got a spiritual mom in my church. I love her to death. She's about to die. When she dies, my relationship with God does not die. It does not change. It does not alter. Because I count on her. I love her. But I don't count on her to pray me through. I don't count on her to handle my battle. I don't count on her to make up my mind for me. Do I want to serve Jesus? Do I want to be a Christian? Do I want to sell out? Do I want to be right? Do I want to do right? Do I want to quit running? Do I want to stop making excuses? I'm sorry, if you come to hear pie in the sky tonight, and you're not getting it. This is overcooked filet mignon. And if you've never had overcooked filet mignon, it's nasty. Filet mignon within itself is delicious. But you overcook that sucker, it's a hockey puck. So I'm sort of giving you overcooked filet mignon tonight. You're having to go, I set off the alarm. You're having to chew on this. You got to make up your mind that you can't handle this. You see, when David runs toward Goliath had cursed David by his gods. The Philistines worshiped two deities. I'll give you this real quick and we'll try to stop. Had two deities. They had the fowls of the air and they had the beast of the field. And David was told by Goliath, I'm going to feed you to my gods. David turns the thing around on Goliath and says, this day I'm serving you up to your gods, to the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know. In other words, all the people that believe in the Philistine deities, I'm going to show them who God is. This day, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to decapitate you. Now, we've seen a lot of decapitation here lately, and it's hideous. ISIS is on a roll. World's in chaos. But this is battle between the Philistine army and the God army. And I'll tell you something tonight. This is battle tonight between the God army and powers, principalities, rulers of darkness, and spiritual wickedness. So I just need to say this again. It's time to choice up. It's time to run toward it. It's time to make an advance toward it. It's time to sell out. It's time to be all out for it. It's time that you look at eyeball to eyeball and go, hey, this is what it is. God's delivered you in my hand. If you hadn't have been for me to handle, you would never have been in my life. I said this tonight, last night, and I feel like I need to reiterate tonight. Mama, daddy may have done you wrong. Brother may have raped you. Sister may have betrayed you. You may have been hurt by family. You may have been done wrong all through your life, but I want to tell you something. That doesn't alter the God that I'm telling you about tonight. The God that I'm telling you about. My daddy picked me up when I was 18 months old and choked me till I turned blue and threw me down in my mother's arms. At 7 years old, he aimed a .22 rifle out the back of the window. And my dad, I watched him one time shoot a squirrel gut. He had shot a squirrel, and the gut was hanging from the tree. And he told me, watch this, boy. And he shot the gut and with a .22. I've watched him light match heads, you know, with BB guns and stuff. My dad was a great shot. So he aimed a gun out when I was 7. What did he do? He put a .38 to my head. Oh, I know what he did. One night I came home from church, and my dad was beating my mom. And he had his pistol. And he told her, said, I'm going to kill you. And he points his pistol at my mom. So I step in between dad and the gun and my mom. And he grabs me like this, chokes me from behind, and puts his pistol here and cocks it. And tells me, I'm going to blow you to hell, boy. And all of a sudden, what my preacher preached to me come alive. So what did your preacher preach? There was power in the name of Jesus. I did something so crazy. I stuck my hand out. Well, first I told him, I said, you may pull the trigger and it may go off. You may pull the trigger and it might not go off. One way or another, if I go, I'm going to be with Jesus. But in the name of Jesus, give me your gun. And I watched his knuckles whiten. And he said, I'm going to kill you, boy. And I said, in the name of Jesus, give me your gun. And I watched him as he began to shake. I have no need to lie to you. He begins to shake like this. Oh, and growl at me. And I said, give me the gun. And he slapped it. I lie you not. He slaps the gun in my hand. And I said, in the name of Jesus, go over there and sit in your chair. And he's going. I hadn't even been saved a year, hardly. I mean, God put that in my life. I was able to lead my dad to the Lord. I was able to lead him and my grandmother, who hated each other, to the Lord. I was able to watch my dad, who wanted to kill me, hug me in an altar and tell me, son, I love you. The man that never hardly ever told me he loved me. So I'm here to tell you, you can complain about the giant in your life, and you can complain about the problem in your life, and you can get all the sympathy you want to out of this world, because you can find somebody that will sympathize with you. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. I didn't come to sympathize with you. I come to tell you that there's something greater than sympathy. There is divinity. There is a divine God who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above that which you ask or think, according to the power of God that works in you. That's what it says, works in you. In other words, you've got to be willing to let God work in you. You've got to be willing to let God work through you. You've got to be willing to let God abide in you. You've got to be willing to step up and go, it's bigger than me. It's better than me. I'm not equipped like it's equipped. I don't have the manpower. I'm not a man of war, but I love God. And I can do this in Jesus' name. Let's see. Any more I need to say? Oh, by the way. He runs toward him, takes his Clint Eastwood 44 Magnum slingshot, spins it around a couple of times. I can use my imagination, can't I? I mean, anybody know anything about firearms? Anybody know anything about blast that hits you forward? Generally, what way do you fall if it hits you this way? Which way? Backwards. Why is it Goliath fell in the dirt face first? You want to know? Anybody want to know? $29.95, you can buy the CD. Here you go. I'll give it to you real quick. In Genesis, God said that the serpent and his crowd would eat dirt all the days of his life. So David slings this slingshot, and about the time the rock, oh, by the way, if you understand Philistine armor, you need to research it. It's like bad stuff. It only has like a slit in it that comes right here and drops down. And I mean, it's bad. I mean, to put a stone there, you got to be bad boy, you know. And all of a sudden, it hits, it sinks, he falls. I mean, he's laying there in the dirt. And David runs and don't have a... Worry this. He don't have a sword. He don't have a sword. He don't even have a double-edged sword. He don't have nothing. He has a weapon. He knew how to say in the name of the Lord host. But you got to get in the Word to take its head off and to keep its head off. So David runs and gets on the back of Goliath, pulls his sword. I'm trying to hurry. He pulls his sword. By the way, this sword, somewhere in the proximity, around 6 feet long. About as long as me. And David, probably somewhere in his 4'8", maybe if he bumps 5, he's a young youth. And he's got this. And he's going to cut this guy's head off. And he drops this sword to handle the... You ever heard of seal the deal? He's going to seal the deal. He's going to cut its head off once and for all and handle it. Ready for this? In other words, it's not getting back up. I handled this one once. I won't handle it again. I settled this one tonight. It ain't coming back. Well, you say, don't you believe in power, Jesus? Word gets in you, you become alive in Christ Jesus, and you speak the Word with authority, and God honors His Word. You know what Jesus said? He said, if you want to know how to pray, pray it like this. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. If so far He has covered and handled the Word, the Word, the Word. You say, what do you mean? Well, Father spoke it into existence. He spoke it into existence. So He said, Father, Thy kingdom come. What kingdom? The kingdom of heaven. Tell me what the kingdom of heaven is. It's the Word of God. It's the peace of God. It's the love of God. It's the hope of God. It's the Son of God. It is the way, the truth, and the life. So, he cuts off his head, holds his head up, and everybody has a party. You say, is that really the way it ends? No, not really the way it ends, but I can tell y'all are ready to go. You say, are you about through? You ready? I am through. You say, what? I'm through. People are going, no, I'm through tonight. I'm through preaching. Look, let me say this to you. If you need to go, God bless you. I love you. Great having you. I'm glad you came. Bye-bye. Won't offend me. Won't hurt my feelings. I'm going to pray for some people. I'm not going to push them. I don't know what I'm going to anoint them with oil. I'm probably going to do what I did to her, just whisper stuff in people's ears. Because I laid in the room today, and I just like I heard God tell me, you do what I tell you to do, I'll honor my word. You do what I tell you to do, and the rest is up to them and me. You do what I tell you to do, and they can't run anymore. They can't run from it anymore. They have to face up to it. They have to surrender to it. They have to either stand and face it. I mean, look, can I tell you nice? Will somebody listen to me? Repent. Repent. Will somebody listen to me nicely? Repent. What do you mean? I hear this in my heart. Just tell God, God, I'm sorry for doubting your authority, doubting your word, and looking at my problem bigger than you. Can I tell you to repent and just crawl up on its back instead of it riding you? Can I tell you to repent and trust God? Repentance is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. I have to repent to the woman I'm married to quite a bit. Tell her, I'm sorry. Man, I messed this one up. Oops. And she'll tell me sometimes, if you really mean it, and I'll go, I really mean it. You know how I prove to her I really mean it? I don't do it again. I drive in my heart, in my spirit. This nail that says, I crucified this, I killed it. So, let me ask you this. Are we ready to go home? Are you ready to go home? I like that. She said to Jesus, yes.